Pittsburgh, I love ya. This is Brian Edward, and you're listening to Berg Vivant, Pittsburgh's cultural talk magazine, delivered digitally, straight up, shaken, and stirred. Tonight's broadcast brought to you by our spectacular sponsors and strategic partners, Zafalo's Banquet and Event Center, Carnegie, Pennsylvania, one of the most beautiful and unique venues in the greater Pittsburgh area for weddings, corporate dinners, fundraisers, and more. Visit clubzafalo.com. Off the Wall Theater, enlivening, educating, and entertaining audiences in the Pittsburgh region. View their current season at insideoffthewall.com. Arcade Comedy Theater, hosting local and national comedians, sketch comedy, improv, and more. 811 Liberty Avenue, downtown. Be sure to like them on Facebook or find them at arcadecomedytheater.com. Berg Vivant is a proud supporter of Firefly Arts, creating opportunities and support for families living with autism through innovative arts programming. You can learn more and show your support at fireflyarts.org. Kasia Ensemble is here on Berg Vivant today. Ladies, it is so good to be chatting with you in this festive season of celebratory music. How are we doing?
Doing great today.
Doing great. Yeah.
We have Miss Dawn Posey, violinist, and Miss Katia Janpaladian, cellist. These are strings, right?
Yes.
Very good. You know, I always find it's funny, you know, those who aren't in the musical profession will just say, oh, you know, that big violin, you know? And you're like, cello?
What's the difference between the violin and the cello, right? It burns longer.
Yeah. Ah, I hadn't heard that. But is it true?
Technically, yes, because it's bigger.
Yeah.
We never tried, so
well,
we should set up a bonfire.
Well, I am honored to have in my presence today two very dedicated musicians. You are both founders of Kasia Ensemble, which is an all-female music ensemble. Yes,
that's correct.
Yes, all ladies. There's seven of us, and we all play string instruments and the harp and the clarinet and the bass. So
all right,
quite an array of musicians.
So when you're putting together an ensemble, you know, how do you decide, well, you know, I think we need a clarinet in here? Or is it just people who gravitate towards you? Or is this a sort of like a curatorial process?
Well, I guess it kind of started with our trio, really, of cello, violin, and harp. And then in the end, it was just all people we really liked playing with. So
that's,
and
that's the
that
best
way
to put, yeah, to get, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we just like each other a lot.
That's important. So nobody's like cutting each other's strings,
exactly,
and things like that. Getting along
hasn't
is
happened yet.
Not yet.
We do have coffee in the morning, so that helps. Yeah.
That does help. Mm-hmm. And this is your second season, yes?
Yes.
Here in Pittsburgh, that's fantastic. Mm-hmm. So there's something to be said about the strength of an all-female ensemble, I think. Mm-hmm. How does the voice of an all-female ensemble maybe differ from that of a mixed-gender ensemble or an all-male ensemble as you see it?
Mm. So we basically think that the working environment is the best in this configuration, just judging from our past experiences, because collectively we worked probably in a million configurations by now.
Mm.
And this one proved to work the best.
Mm-hmm.
So this is why we stuck with this group and we decided to take it further.
Mm-hmm.
And promote the female entrepreneurship.
You got it.
That's my English. So and collaborate a lot with artists, visual artists, and fashion designers, dancers, any kind of art formation.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I mean, I imagine that when you'll be, you know, touring beyond the United States, which is something that you plan to do,
mm-hmm,
there's a statement to be made about female entrepreneurship that you may be taking, you know, into these other countries.
Absolutely. I think we feel definitely that we are representatives of what is possible in an all-female group or as a female musician or as a female artist. And in a lot of other places around the world, women don't have those opportunities and they don't have the role models to show them what they are capable of. So we're hoping to long-term bring that vision to
the world.
To the world.
Yeah.
really.
So when you choose, you know, the pieces of music that you'll play in a concert, you know, what's, I don't know, your attitude, you know, are you the classics, or are you a little bit of modern? What are we going to hear when we...
Well, a lot of it has to do with instrumentation. So we start with looking at pieces that fit our instrumentation of group. We haven't found a piece that fits our specific instrumentation with all of us on stage yet. So if anybody wants to write us a piece, we're open to that.
That's cool.
But like for our concert coming up, we are in lots of different divisions. Mm-hmm. So cool. Trios, duos, quintets, quartets, that kind of thing. And then the music we pick is usually stuff, like we have a master list that we all keep track of that we...
each would love to perform at some point.
It's like our wish list of stuff we want to play, and we try to pick from that.
I like wish list, but better than the bucket list. So
bucket list, a bucket list of rap that we all have been wanting to play for a long time. So.
Basically, based on like what is good music, and we want this good music to be performed, and we also want to for the female composers to speak more often too. So we are picking more. As many, whatever would fit the programming, of course, you know, of female composers. And it has nothing to do to you know, it's just basically good music.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, given your mission to, you know, promote the female as an entrepreneur in music, are there any idols that the two of you look to today, you know, women in music that are doing this same thing?
Well, that would be probably the name of the ensemble, the Cassia ensemble, the Cassia herself, who was the basic role model for us. Mm-hmm. The woman in 850s, you know, the 9th century, she was an abbess. She was a beautiful woman coming from a wealthy family.
Wow.
And she was one of the finalists, as we talk right now, to marry the king of the time.
It was
the emperor.
Byzantine bachelor.
Yes. Yeah. So he had it narrowed to two women he was about to marry, and she was by far the most gorgeous and, you know... So at the finals, he asked her basically a question, and that was a, you know, backhanded kind of question. It was like, well, you know that through a woman, the sin came upon the world. And she didn't take it, and she said, you know, through a woman, there was a salvation. She meant the Virgin Mary, obviously. He didn't like that she actually, you know...
I think that's what we call a clapback now, right?
That's a nice term. I will learn that.
I like that.
So he decided that he doesn't want a woman in his life who is going to be standing, you know, standing for herself. So he went with the other woman. And Cassia, instead, she formed her own convent, which was, you know, consisted about 400 nuns. I believe it was a big convent. And she was a composer. She was the first documented female composer.
Wow.
And she was writing poems, she was setting them to music that was mostly hymnal, of course, religious music, but it was fantastic, it was great. And the king ended up later sponsoring the convent too, so he was helping her out because she was indeed somebody and not just, you know, an ordinary woman who would just marry and start a family.
Yeah.
I guess.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Right. But what a great namesake for your company.
Yeah.
Because I was going to ask how it got its name, and that makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
And I think really aligns very closely with your mission. And what an honor to Cassia and her legacy and her history there. What is there anything unusual about the, you know, instrumentation of what you've put together as far as the types of musicians that you've collaborated that might not be typical for an ensemble? Is it usual to have, you know, a clarinetist among a group of strings?
I mean, I think more what you see is ensembles that are smaller. So you'll see just a string quartet with just two violins, viola, and cello. Or a string quintet, which is that configuration plus a string bass. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you'll see a trio, piano trios, which is common. And then usually you'll see a clarinet in a wind quintet or something.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So, and often there are a few harp and violin duos, and there are a few harp, viola, flute trios, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But for our size and combination of things, it's actually quite unusual. So...
Cool. You stand out in the pack.
We hope so.
And Pittsburgh's a good city to do that, although traveling the world is in your future.
It is. Although I will say that Pittsburgh is a really wonderful place to start things.
Mm.
Like, I've noticed that. I've lived here 8 years or so, 8 or 9, and it's especially in the arts. I've seen so many organizations and ensembles get started here, and the community seems to be really excited for new things and supportive of whoever wants to get something new going. So yeah. That's really cool.
Cheers to you. Fantastic. And we all have an opportunity to see Casilla Ensemble in action November 22nd, Tuesday, 7 p.m. at the Pittsburgh Winery.
That's right.
I mean, what could be greater? You know, before you get into all the holiday mayhem with Thanksgiving, Tuesday, kick back after work with a glass of wine, Pittsburgh Winery, and listen to your lovely music. Yeah. And I'm assuming there will be wine,
will be lots and lots of wine.
All right, very good.
Before, during, and after all of the wine.
During?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, is that both performer and audience
we
member?
Wish.
You mean you don't have a cup holder on your violin? No.
It's unfortunate that the problem with drinking while playing is you think you sound great.
Yeah.
The more you drink, the better you play.
Yeah, it's the same with hosting talk shows,
right,
too.
I'm
just
sure,
FYI. I hear you. But maybe a cup holder for a violin might be something I could put out. Maybe patent. Is there a need
for
that?
What we need is one of those camelback things with the wine right here so that while we're playing, we can just reach down.
Yeah, that's, it's like a little straw.
We need straws.
That's really clever, though.
Yes,
yeah.
I think so.
I support your proposal.
Thank
yes.
you.
That could maybe be a fundraiser. Everybody has one of those.
Grant.
Last musician standing or last musician on key. You know, everybody just drinks wine until, like, you know, the last person.
Fun.
Yeah.
Actually, okay.
Always thinking.
All right, next
game. Write that down.
That's what
we're doing. But this concert, would that be appropriate?
Yeah, it's a concert.
Is part of Chamber Music Pittsburgh's Pittsburgh Performs series.
Mm-hmm.
And really, they couldn't have picked a better location.
Right.
You give me good music, good wine, I am there.
Right, absolutely. And this series is actually really cool because it promotes local performers and local groups and people who are formed in Pittsburgh. And then it puts them in sort of unusual locations where you wouldn't normally hear a concert.
I don't think there's anything unusual about a winery. I mean, you'll find me there. You know, I think that's completely appropriate.
I agree.
In fact, we should talk to maybe some other music organizations about moving there.
It's where we spend a lot of our time. So.
Exactly. So, you know, it's a pretty good idea. But yeah, and I think it's a great opportunity for music appreciators out there who have not heard you yet to come on down and get to know you.
Absolutely.
It'll be fantastic. So looking forward to that. Again, November 22nd, Tuesday, 7 p.m., Pittsburgh Winery, Casilla Ensemble, and we'll have the link for tickets up on the site there. While I have you, two very dedicated musicians, you know, I want to get your perspective on the music scene in Pittsburgh right now, because everybody knows that, you know, our the Symphony, probably one of the biggest musical organizations in the city, has been on strike for several weeks now. And without getting too political about it, because I know there are a lot of opinions about it, I think the question that I want to ask is, in this atmosphere, you know, how do you put a value on a professional musician here today in 2016 in our current economic climate?
Yeah, I mean, I think that question extends even farther. So how do you put a value on art in general? You know, I think that the visual arts struggle with this a lot as well, and the music community struggles with this. And, you know, within music itself, we have so many different genres, right? And so some genres are a lot more lucrative than, say, being a symphony musician. And I think that, you know, then also the question is, how do you define art? What is art, really? And I think, for me, art should be valued at the highest level. Because to me, once you take art away from a culture, then you lose your society entirely. And you can look throughout history, and even in current political climates, you can look at other countries that have cut back on their culture and cut back on the art that's being created, and they've completely disintegrated as a society. So to me, I think that it's invaluable entirely.
So, I completely agree.
Yeah.
Priceless.
priceless.
It's priceless,
but,
yeah.
But I can find what price probably if I was, you know, selling a little painting.
Yeah. I mean, I get that it's hard to quantify and to understand, you know, why musicians make what they make depending on what it is that they're doing. Mm-hmm. And there's a pretty wide range of how we're compensated. But, you know, you do have to remember that we all, most of us went to conservatory, and conservatory is very expensive.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like when you go to medical school where you'll have a job when you graduate, you know, and then
you don't take a risk that way. You risk your everything with the arts, with the being a musician.
Yeah.
And most of us, I mean, like probably 99% of us went with a knowledge of that you're not going to actually make a lot of money. So you do it for love for the art, for love for the music. So you do pour your soul, your time, endless and endless hours of practicing.
Yeah.
What people forget about, because most people work in the office 9 to 5 and then, okay, you go home and you get to rest. Well, we don't.
Our job never ends.
It doesn't stop. You have to prove yourself every single day.
Mm-hmm.
So you get up, you practice, you go to work, you teach, you come back, you practice. Even the time when you drive in the car, you still listen to music, not for pleasure, actually.
It's
just
because
like,
I have to learn the score.
Wow.
I have to perform it. It's 3 days, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of work.
Yeah.
Much more than anybody would expect.
And
yeah,
and it's a lot of emotional investment. You know, we have a lot of deep attachments to everything that we perform as well.
Well, I know a lot of people that do take refuge in music, you know, to, you know, get away from, you know, the strains of, you know, everyday workaday life. But I mean, are you still able to do that?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
To listen to music for pleasure.
For pleasure.
Or is it like still being in the office?
It's
the soundtrack to Hamilton.
It's never an office. That's the thing. You never get the feel, oh my God, I hate my job.
Yeah.
Because you do love your job. And that's why you do it the best you can.
And that's why we do work the hours and the time that we do and put the effort in, because we are doing it because we really do love it, you know. And at the end of the day, it's a really wonderful feeling to be like, I really loved what I did today.
Good deal.
It's awesome.
So what do you do to relax outside of music? Ski, restaurants, bowling?
What do you do?
Do you do anything outside of the music?
Well, I do yoga. I teach yoga.
Yeah. Now, see, that would be more stressful for me, yoga.
Really?
Yeah, because, I mean, like, if I'm going to get my leg up above my head at, like, 8 a.m. on a Friday morning, somebody's got to take me to dinner first, if you know what I mean. But,
Well, we do have a hobby of martini drinking as well. So there's that.
Well, you are in the presence of an expert, let me just say. Because what is it? You spend over 1,000 hours doing anything, you're considered an expert in that?
Yeah.
Well, 2 or 3 times over.
Put in your time.
I'm... well, anything you need to know, I can tell you. But that's a good hobby to have, too. And again, wine with music on November 22nd.
That's right.
Well, John, Katya, it was very nice having you here today
in
the Bergmavant Library.
Our pleasure.
We're looking forward to hearing you and more from you in the future.
We hope so.
I'm sure
we
will. Cheers and all the best. You're welcome. In closing, we would like to once again thank our spectacular sponsors and strategic partners, Off the Wall Theater, Cefalo's Banquet and Events Center, Carnegie, Pennsylvania, Arcade Comedy Theater, Downtown, and Bergvavant is a proud supporter of Firefly Arts, creating opportunities and support for families living with autism through innovative arts programming. Find out more and show your support at fireflyarts.org. And be sure to follow Pittsburgh's Cultural Talk magazine online. You can find Bergvavant, the It in Pittsburgh, on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribe for free at www.bergvavant.com. This is Brian Edwards saying cheers and good night.